We again, Lord God of heaven, come before thy presence this morning, Lord. We know that, Lord, you said that in the Garden of Eden, thy children were sent from thy presence. And we know, Lord God, you are omnipresent. Therefore, Father, there's no way that a person can get away from your presence. The only thing that separates a person from your presence is something that is not according to your word. We pray today, Lord. We in these bodies, Lord, sometimes we find ourselves alone. Doing, thinking, things that maybe are not pleasant to you. We humbly come to your feet this morning. We are not claiming to be anything good. But we know, Lord, what you've done. You chose us. You brought us this far. You've been doing a work in us, Lord. You're good enough. You're sweet enough to take all that that's not according to your will in everybody, in every one of us, Lord. Take it to the sea of forgetfulness. We remember in 1964, just a close when we were going to 1965, the prophet saying, it's December. We're just about to close the other year. I've done maybe a few things in the past year that not pleasing to you. And he said, you have an access to the sea of forgetfulness where you can put all that and never to be remembered no more. We pray that that same thing happens to each one of us this morning. But when we approach you today, Lord, Father, you hear from heaven. Hear us this morning, Lord. We've come together that you may speak to us. I declare to them and to you, Father, that I cannot do nothing. I cannot speak. And I pray, Father, that you speak to me. You speak to each man's heart in this room, Lord. That when you get out of this place, we will know, Father, that our hearts were burning within us when you spoke to us. We desire that. We pray, Father, that you do it for the glory of your name. Because you choose us, Lord. You love us, Father. By election, we know that you love us. You brought us this far, Lord. And it's a great distance, Lord, that we've covered, Lord. You've done a marvelous job on us, Lord. We were dirty and vulgar and nothing, Lord. But you brought us to a place where we can recognize your word, where we can see your revelation, Lord, the ritual we see. We pray, Father, that today be another day. When you make one step, when you take us one step higher, Lord God is our desire. There might be some people here who need something from you. Grant it, Lord, for the glory of your name. We also pray for Sister Rhoda, Lord God, down in Florida, and Dawn's mother, Lord. We continue committing them to you, Lord. You know you are a massive Father, and Lord, that you cares. Care for every one of us. Maybe a loved one somewhere that a head is crying for in this room, Lord. We pray that you extend your mercy. Lord God, that your daughter, your son, may have the full joy of their salvation. Because that was your purpose, Lord, when you called us to you. Thank you. This morning we pray that you take over now, take chances of our prayer. Preach to us, speak to us, Lord. We humble ourselves before you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Thank you. So may God bless you. I'll give you some papers there. And I hope I'm not a good person when it comes to drawing and things. I wasted so many papers trying to make it right and still doesn't seem the way maybe perfect. It still seems like it's not very good, but at least it's giving at least it's giving something. It's at least it can give me a picture of it can give you a picture of what we're talking about. So the first paragraph, the first picture there, the first one, was talking about the church ages. And I think that's very simple. You know them, the church ages. The first was Paul. But now the way I've drawn them, I've drawn to the way I drew them, the way I drew them on the blackboard, on the board, last Sunday. Okay, all right, all right. Okay, all right. All right, good, that's good. All right, good. So now you remember what we drew on the black on the board last Sunday, that and I went last Wednesday, it's just the same thing. And the way is really marvelling. It's marvelous. The meaning of that. I was preaching last night to Vicar Church, and by the way, they give me your greetings, and I hope you receive them. I really it was marvelous last night when I saw it last night, something I'd not seen before when I was preaching, and I found that that's very important. The quote that we read on Wednesday, and I'm not going to read it again because of time. But you see the way they go, the ages go, they don't like that. They don't like that. They overlap like that. That overlapping is very important to notice. The prophet did not say it for nothing, because there are things that you see in the first age, as that quote said, you find those things in the next age. The next age that is coming, you find this age that has finished. You think it's have finished, and maybe another thing I would like to say there is that even the messenger, being there or not there, does not determine the end or starting of the age. I think that is clear. The messenger being there, an age can start because it's God who knows when the age starts. The messenger might not even there be there at that time. Whenever he comes, he might be ready to come, or he might end before the end of the age. It's God who determines when the age starts and when the age ends. And as I said, this starts like this. Every age starts like this. A message opens, a seal opens from heaven. I think we understand that. And here, the folk here today are people who really understand the message. Last Sunday, last Wednesday, you people say that it was good, but to me, I really kind of wasted your time. I feel like that. I just beat myself up so much. I wasted your time. But I had some people there. I wanted, because we are also accused. We are also accused. We are accused. We are cult. We are this. We are like Muhammad, like that, like that, like that. All these things. When I get a chance, I like to say it. In fact, if God helps me, I would like to say it for everybody, even in YouTube and everywhere. We are not. We are not a cult. We are not a cult. We are the true Christians. We are the true Christians. No other Christian is truer than us. We are the truest. Because the only thing is we have the truth. And we have found the truth. The problem with the people is that they don't want the truth. And the people of Jesus Christ, that's why he was called Beelzebub. Was he called Beelzebub? Jesus Christ was Beelzebub. How do you pronounce it, Brother Michael? Beelzebub. That's why he was called like that. That's why we are called a cult. Because that's the way if they come and they see what we are talking about, we have it. We have it. And we are not shy. We are not ashamed of this. We are not even ashamed of being called Branhamite. You call me any name, I'll accept Branhamite or whatever. A message believer or that. I am that. I'm a Branhamite, if you want to call me that. I'm a student of Brother Branham. I'm a follower of him. And he's not a cult. Whoever is listening in, just understand. I know they listen in, even when they don't come. Just understand, we are not a cult. We believe the Bible, the whole Bible. It's the only problem. The only problem with other people is that they don't understand the Bible. We understand the Bible because God did something. God did something. God brought the interpreter to us because it's only God who can interpret the Bible, and therefore He brought that interpreter to us, and He said, "This is my interpreter," and He showed us that I'm in Him. He's my interpreter. Let Him interpret the Bible. That's what we follow. When you hear that you are a messy believer, you are Branhamite, that's okay. You are called a cult. I know there are some people that I've been preaching to, and they've gone away to the other people. They've been told that's a cult. That's a cult. And that is where I was going to that night. And bear with me because of that. Now, in this today, when it comes to the church ages, we read that quote that they don't do their faith. They are like this. In this, you find this age has some things that you actually in this before this starts. There's some things that will happen there, and you're wondering what is happening over there. Like, for example, let's get the prophet. And this is my answer to those people who say, why don't you take communion? And the prophet was taking communion. This is my answer. That age of communion and doing those things, the prophet was still preaching to the people of the other age. Remember, he was the messenger of the other age also. But now it has interwoven. It's here, it's overlapping. So he's here. That's why you saw those things happening there. And most of the people there didn't understand. That was what this teaches me. They didn't understand. And I said, I met Brother Holmes, who was there during Branham's time. And he told me, and also I didn't talk, but I studied Brother Jones very much. Brother Jones was also there. And another brother from Florida. Another brother from Germany. They were there. They saw it. But they say there were very few people who came over this way and understood the ladders. When Jesus came, that Jesus had come. Very few of them that were for this other age. But in that age, they took what they took, and the prophet continued like that. That's my way of seeing it. And it might be not that, but that's the way I see it. Now, and that's the purpose of this. When you see this overlapping, like the first age, it overlapped to that, like that, like that. Now, I wanted to say when the age starts. The age starts, the prophet says, the plan. This is the plan of it. This is the plan of it. He says, this is the plan of it. I think I've read some quotes on that. The plan of it is, a seal opens from heaven. That's how it starts. A seal opens from heaven. A revelation from heaven. That revelation comes down, and the only person who can get it might stay a bit. If the prophet of that age or the messenger of that age has not come, it lingers a bit, is there. And then when the messenger of the age comes, he catches it. That's what the prophet said. He catches it. The next thing that we hear is a trumpet, a gospel trumpet of that seal that has opened. That revelation, that mystery that has opened is taken by that messenger of the age, Paul, Irenaeus, Wesley, like that. And he brings us to the people. And he calls that the trumpet. It's a trumpet. I hope you understand that. It's a trumpet. There's a gospel trumpet. What are the seven trumpets? Seven trumpets are gospel trumpets by the messengers of the age. I hope that's very clear. So each messenger has a trumpet. It's a trumpet to the people of that age. Now, at the end of the age, this trumpet and this trumpet, you can hear two trumpets kind of. We are hearing trumpet here and you're hearing trumpet here. But they are interwoven. They are overlapping like that. It's not kind of coming together like that. I hope that's very clear. Now, we go to the next paragraph, and our next diagram, rather. The next diagram. I think that is very clear. That's how I drew them. I didn't. We usually draw like a line, and then we divide them. Now, down there is the second one. This is a bit controversial, but again, that's the way I see it. And the best thing is to bring it the best of my understanding. And then from there, God, by you, or by any other way, he can come and correct me. But for my understanding today, or this far, this is the way I understand it. That now, from Wesley, where the prophet was talking about in that quote that we read, that Wesley and Brother Branham, that is Laodicea and Philadelphia. The Philadelphia, they overlapped. Now, in that overlapping, I take now Brother Branham's message. I say Brother Branham's message is simply two pools. I told people last night that I cannot say the other messengers had pools, like three pools. I don't know. And maybe I'm forgetting whether I checked it right. I don't know. I'm vaguely seeing what I read sometimes ago. But I cannot declare that right now because I don't have a clue right now that every message had a pool. But he says Jesus had three pools. He says Noah had three pools. He says Moses had three pools. I don't know about others, but they usually have pools. Now, Brother Branham had three pools. Brother Branham had three pools. But the Rhodesian message, the message of Rhodesia, is this Rhodesian? Eh? I say Rhodesian. I say Rhodesian. The Rhodesian message had two pools. It had only two pools. That was the Rhodesian message. It was pulling people to come to the lad pool, which was him. That was why I put here first pool and second pool. And I'm saying it might be controversial. It might be, maybe not everybody sees it like that. If you have a quote or something, help me. I'm bringing it to the best of my understanding, to the best of what I'm seeing it. I'm really, really bad on this. Not now, even in the past. I've looked at it, and I've looked at the message, different messages, and I've come to the conclusion of this. It was only two pools. The two pools were the message of the Brother Branham. That was Laodicea. I keep on Laodicea. It's supposed to be Laodicean, is it right? Laodicean. You know, in Swahili, it's written Laodicea, and it's a K instead of a C. Laodicea. That's why in Kenya, I think people pronounce it Laodicean. But it's actually Laodicean church, the Laodicean church. It's a seventh church age. The messenger was Brother Branham. And Brother Branham had two pools. Because that age, part of it, or part of its work, was to prepare us for his coming. That is exactly right. He was forerunning us. He was forerunning Jesus Christ. And when he comes, remember, there are only three comings. The first one was his coming. The first coming was when he died on the cross. For the purchase of the bride, purchasing, I will call the purchasing of the bride, dying on the cross, to shed blood to buy us. Now that was that. Now the second one was coming for that bride that he bought. Let me use that word anyways. It's bought or paid for. He paid the bride that he paid for. Now he's coming for him. The second coming is coming for the bride. That's the purpose of that. The purpose of that was to come for the body. That was the purpose for the second coming. Now, listen. The third coming, which I see, that's me. I don't have quotes. They are very close together with the second coming. They are very close together. Because he comes with a bride in the millennium. But you remember he said that the opening of the seventh seal was ushering in of the millennium. Ushering in. It's not the millennium. Remember to add that word when you talk about the millennium and the seventh seal. Remember to put that word there, ushering in. Ushering in. And what it is was, remember, that the millennium that got the bride, or when he came, the millennium that was there, and he says that in him was millennium because the bride had the rest when he got into him. That's right. So, When Jesus came and got the bride got into a spiritual, let me call that, this is my words, don't use it because it's not used there. But he got into a spiritual, she got into a spiritual millennium. Wow, with all the characteristics of a millennium, yeah. Is in that bride. It's called a rest. Yeah. It's called all this. So the bride is in that kind of a rest. Yeah. It's in the millennium. So it was ushered in that time. But the physical millennium outside here, the cars and things like that, because even the prophet asks you, what you say that hearing will be there in the millennium? He asks, do you think you need millennium? Do you need hearing in the millennium? What for? There will be no sickness in the millennium. That's what the prophet is. You see that? So these things that we see here physically is not millennium. And I'm trying to be as simple as possible. It's not millennium. We have not come to that millennium. But the bride has gotten into a physical millennium. No, into a spiritual millennium. Why? Listen to this. Because whenever, maybe I'm reading the course, but this is also very important for the people to get. Because when this, listen to this. In Christ, there's everything. You talk of perfection. When the bride gets into Christ, there's no any other higher place she can go. Where else? She's gotten to everything that she ought to have. That's right. Praise the Lord. So she's in her perfection. One more thing. She'll never, the Bible says that that he'll come with a shout, with a voice, and there shall she ever be. Something like that. She doesn't need Jesus Christ. When she gets into Christ, that's for her. She's there permanently. She'll never move away from that. Praise be to God. She's done. There's no other position. We are only waiting for this body to drop. Not to change. People are waiting for change. No. To drop. To die. A bomb or whatever. It's going to drop. Why? Why? Because, listen very carefully. Because this flesh is only subject. The change was, you became subject. When he came, and I'm going to read about redemption. When he came, he married us. He got us. Praise be to God. He got us. That was all. Now we became subject. We are ruled. These bodies become subject to that which is inside. Amen. You become subject to that. Now you desired to smoke. You desired to do this. Now that all desire is dead, is killed. Now you are subject to something else, to him that came and indwelled you. Now you're subject to that. That is the change. Now you are waiting for this body to drop. I was speaking to Brother Keenan the other day. And he was very excited to see that. He said, I said, okay, brother, that's true. That's what I said, that's true. I didn't tell him that I knew it or something, but he said, brother, I'm studying on this change of the body. These things that people are waiting for the change of the body. I don't think there's any change because he's gonna die. I said, yes, the atoms are not gonna change. These atoms are not gonna change. But remember when he talks about the change of the body, why does he say the change of the body? He says like this, that your mortal body, when that quickening power, which is him coming down, and it's never come. Until he comes, when that quickening power comes into that body, when it comes to that body is quickened also. The mortal body is quickened. That's the change. That's the only change that we have. But that body, because it's quickened, does not mean that it's not going to die. It still drop down and die. Brother Branham's body was quickened. I think that is the first body that was quickened. That was the first body that was quickened because he tabernacled in him before he tabernacled in the bride. But it still dropped and died and was buried. Praise be to God. So people say we are not going to die, we are going to fry away. No. This flesh, it cannot go in the presence of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. It cannot. It cannot. It came wrong. It's got to go back down. And now you come glorified. You come glorified. It come right. You are supposed to be, I don't know whether I'm taking much of it, but that's good. You are supposed to come like Christ. The prophet says, The way Christ came and he was spoken in the womb of Mary shows it was possible what God intended in the Garden of Eden. He wanted people to be God. And he says, at the end, he'll call his children from the cosmic light and from the potters. Come forth, and you come forth with a glorified body. That's what he says. All right, okay. That's the first one. The second one was saying, you see, that is the third pool. The first pool, the second pool. Now I say that is the head, that the head. Now here in the second pool, he points to coming of Christ. He's coming. Trim your up. I think we read those quotes. And that's why he says in paragraph 130 of the book Rapture, in paragraph 130, he says, he does all three things as he said, as he coming from heaven. He does all three things. Shout, a voice, and a trumpet. When he arrives here on earth, that is Revelation 10. And he doesn't come. We also read a quote. If you want me to read that again, I can read it. I can put it. He says, after the seals are revealed, here comes them. I think he's in the book called The Bridge. After the seals are revealed, here comes Revelation 10, the mighty angel coming down from heaven after the seals are revealed. And we found out that the revelation of the seals was six seals. Sister Rebecca, it was six seals. Not seven, six. Six seals were revealed and it all penned in the book. That is Revelation 7. That's Revelation 10, 7. It all penned the book. And when the book now is open, here he comes down with that book open. I hope you understand that. That's very well put. Here he comes down with that book now open. The mighty angel, which is Jesus Christ. Revelation 10. That's Revelation 10. From Revelation 10, remember that, when he comes in Revelation 10, from there is the third pool. It's no longer the seventh angel. It's the third pool. Although the seventh angel is the second pool. Listen, although in the second pool, this is the difference. And I tried to explain that, and that's very difficult to explain. That's very difficult to explain. Because in the second pool, it's God in a man. That one we say that, is right? Who was Jesus Christ when he talked to? What was Jesus Christ when he talked to the woman at the well? The woman at the well. He told her, hey, Messiah. Who was Messiah? Messiah was to be God in a man. And they knew that. So when he talked to her, when he talked to her, she said, when the Messiah cometh, when God gets into a body and comes here on earth, that's the thing that he's going to do. I recognize you. And he left he left a bowl of water and he went away to call the people, come and see the man who told me all the things that must be the Messiah. Remember Nathaniel? When Nathaniel, in the second pool is discernment. When he was discerned, what was he? That was God in one man. He said, oh, you are the Messiah. And he had actually made that kind of a comment. Can anything good come from, is it Nazareth or Galilee? Is it Nazareth? Is it Nazareth? Can anything come good come from Nazareth? No. Let's go and look. Let's go see for yourself. You know it's good to see for yourself. If nothing good comes from Nazareth, you're going to go back to that other tree. No problem. Whatever you're doing, you're going to go back. But just come. So they went there. And the first thing he was told, you are Nathaniel. Whatever, I think he was given another name. I think he called in the Bible by another name. But let me use Nathaniel. You are Nathaniel, an Israelite, a Jew, an Israelite. I don't know whether he was Jew. I think Jew came from Judah, like that. You are an Israelite without God. That's like to be told, you are a little Christian. You are, and I know you are a new Christian. He said, how do you know that? He said, before Philip called you at that tree, I saw you. That caught him. He said, you must be that Messiah. You must be that man, God, man. A man that God has entered into. You must be that man. And he said, I'm not going to go under the tree again. Now I can see there's something good that has come from Nazareth. I'll follow you. And he followed him. It was a sign that this man, God, man, is here. In the second prayer, it was the same thing. The only difference, listen very carefully. The only difference was the seals were not revealed. In the book called The Marriage and Vows, that was the difference. In the book called The Marriage and Vows, he says, because the seals are revealed, the spirit of truth comes. It does not come. That was the difference. The spirit of truth now has come because the seals are revealed. When the seals are revealed, he comes down. When the seals are revealed, he comes down. When he comes down, listen now, it's no more nothing else. And I'll tell you something here because this is a bit tricky. Because I've researched it recently. I've researched it because I was also wondering, you know, why is he preaching like in souls in prison now? Why is he preaching and saying, could it be? I thought he was, why is he saying like that? I realized that sometimes before Christ is the mystery of God revealed, that was July 20th. Just before then, I think he was preaching the book called Why Christ Speak. And I went back there, brother, he's talking about himself. We don't realize that. Just God in there. He's saying, why Christ speak? If you want to move on, just close, just go on. He was fearing that fool. It was a fear in him. He was telling himself. And he was saying, we talk so much about Moses and how he was crying and how, but you know, sometimes we forget that it's us. We are the same. We are fearing to get into that pool. And the next one you see, the next the one you see is the radical. He says, 28th July, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says, it is exactly 2 o'clock. And after preaching that he has come and that this is the seventh seal, this is his coming, this is the third pool, this is what it is. After preaching that, he says, now look, is a girl. And something else, sister, I don't know what he was saying. Because he said it's 2 o'clock on the dot. The beginning or the third pool is at hand. This is the end of the second pool. Then the next one, I think is, I don't remember. I think that's the source at the source, like that. Source in preacher now. He says, could it be? Could it be? Could it be? In the next one, I think is, I'm forgetting those books. But the next one is on, I think, November sometimes. November sometimes. November. And he says, I think that's the source in prison. All that period is fearing. His fear is in him, and he's fearing because that was the first sheep. You know the sheep that is waved over the people. That was the first sheep. So he was the first to be adopted son, to be a new son, to be connected with God. He was the first one. But now he's fearing it to give to the people because the next thing, and I read some quotes on that. The next thing, when the seals are revealed, remember this, he's now pouring that which he had into the people, into the bride, the third pool. And I read some quotes in the book called Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. The third pool is actually, first, second pool is God in one man. God in one man. That's why you could say, don't you see this coat? I mean this coat. And if God was in this coat, could he do? And he turns around and he tells, that was God in a man. That was God in one man. Third pool was that God now. That God, that one man. That wants to pour. He was pouring. It was kenos. It's called kenos. It's called. He uses the word kenos. He was pouring that God to the bride, to the people, to his people. Now that is pouring that God to the people, to you, to me, to we are now have him like he had him. That was the first sheep and the second sheep. You can call yourself the second sheep. Yes, he poured him. He poured all that he had in us. That God, the whole of that God came out. He was. Listen. He was. The fullness of Godhead bodily. It came. These statements that I'm making are, I know they can raise questions. But if you have a question, maybe those people who are listening in, I realize that people even here, people listen in. I realize that because somebody was telling me about that. You know, to me, oh, I would like to talk to you about this. And brother, sister, I don't fear. I don't. What I don't fear is not that I'm proud. I'm not bringing attitude. I don't fear that I'm wrong. I fear that if I'm wrong and stay wrong, that would be very wrong. Do you understand what I mean? I want to be. If I'm wrong, I want you to come very quickly. And I don't want to be stay there. I want you to come very quickly and correct me. I want that. And as soon as you correct me, I'm corrected, and I'll raise my hands up, and I'll go on that according to the correction. So whoever is listening in, just be feel free, and I'm available. I'm available for this. I can wake up and come and discuss with you. This is very important to me. I can come and discuss with you. Am I thumping my chest and say, no, I can be wrong, brothers. But this is the way I see it. This is the way I see it, and I love it. And I see it connecting with every scripture like that. That's the good thing about that. I can read this. I don't like coming here. I don't say that I do. Don't do that. Because sometimes I do, but I don't like teaching a doctrine on one quote, you know. A quote becomes a quote because it's, I don't like that. But sometimes you find yourself reading a quote and it's only one that you have, and that's okay. But whenever you bring a doctrine, sometimes I would like to have two or three quotes. So when I say this, this is something that I've seen. This is the way I've seen it. I'll just leave it at that. This is the way I see it, and may God help us. May God help us on these things. So the third pool, now the third pool, you see, the third pool was when the seals were revealed and he came down in Revelation 10. That's right, Revelation 10. He comes down and that's now the third pool. Revelation 10 is also what is <It's> lost. But is this coming? Is this coming? But I wanted to say this. It's a quote that says like this. It's a quote. It's a quote. It says like this. I think it's in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. No, I don't think it's there. It is in the book called Feast of the Trumpets. He says, the seventh seal. Brother Branham was the. Can I get it and read it? Can I get it and read it, please? If I don't read my quotes, don't worry. You have them with them. Don't worry about them. And I'm not asking for another service, but I think it is. I think it is here. It could be somewhere here. Very quickly. Very quickly. Not in the message. Not in the message I have today. It's another message. I want to read it how it says it, because it says it very, very, very well. If I can find it, if I can find it, let's look to Jesus. If I can find it, I'd like to read it so that you can see what I'm saying. But if I don't find it, it's read like this. It says like, no, I don't find it. It's hidden somewhere, but it's hidden somewhere. It says like this. It is in Revelation 10. And it is in. I can get it very fast here. Fast. I thought I had it somewhere. I don't have it. Then this, then Revelation 10, then Revelation. Let me read that quote. I don't know why I feel like I really want to read it. Revelation 10. I feel like I really want to read it. Okay, it is in the Feast of the Trumpets, paragraph 266. That's my. I'm just look. Sorry. To paragraph 264. Paragraph 264. It's not here. It's not in the quote. Now it says, "Look, I want to say one more thing." He says, "I want to say one more thing." Closely now. He says, "Closely now." He says, "Don't you miss this. Don't miss this." He said, "Don't miss this." How striking. You know all those words? He wants you to pay attention. There's something that he's going to say that is very important. He says, "How striking. From the seventh angel's messenger," from the seventh angel's, into brackets, messenger of the seventh seal. What does that mean? The seventh angel is a messenger of the seventh seal. You see that? It's not there, Brother Michael. It's not in my quotes. I'm sorry. All right. The messenger of the seventh seal. Messenger in Revelation 10. Message. Message in Revelation 10 was the seventh seal. So the seventh seal in Revelation 10 was the same thing. And it was actually to be brought to us by the seventh angel, which is Brother Branham. I think you can see that. So it was the angel of the coming of the Lord. He was the one to bring the coming of the Lord. I hope that's clear. I just wanted that, just to read that. So now let's go back to our diagram here, so that we finish now, so that we can read my quotes very fast. Now, so that's that. Now, the third part, because all this could not be put in one place. That's why I put three diagrams like that. Now, we come from the first pool and the second pool. Now, we go to the third pool. Now, here I say I made a mistake on this one, because also in the second pool, still God is tabernacled in Brother Branham. But now, after the seals come, we go into another age. After the seals are revealed, we go to another age, to the third pool. That's the third pool. It's another age. And as the principle is, they got to dovetail. That's right. They also dovetailed. Now, the problem here is that we don't see it dovetailing very much, because it's the same messenger. The messenger of the seventh seal, no, the messenger of the Laodicea, or the seventh messenger, which is Brother Branham, continues to the bright age. He's still the one who is holding that God in him, is the body that is used. He comes up on the other side, the message of the hour, which we call the message of the hour. In one of the messages, he says, "I'm not doing nothing. I cannot even have time to baptize. Is it to ordain? Is it to dedicate babies? I cannot even have a time to pray for a baby that's been born. I don't have time because I've dedicated all my time to this. And he says, I went to the desert and I asked God, what are you doing me with me here in the desert? He said, it's so much coming forth, so much I cannot even handle it. That's the message. He says, that is that pool. The that pool is the message of the hour. What is it? He's here. He's come. He's here. He's come. That's the message. And another question that I was asked the other day by a brother in one of the groups that's in Kenya. The brother asked me, do you have a quote that today, let me just talk like the way I'm talking. I'm feeling like, okay, let me just talk. He asked me a question. Why did you say that the salvation today is to see that he has come, to believe that he has come? Why do you say that's a salvation? Look here. In every age, the salvation was to believe. For you to be saved was to believe on the message that he had sent. That's it, isn't it? In every age, even this one is the same. Is to see that he has come. Because the message of the hour is that he has come. If you don't see it, listen to this. And I'm coming to with a quote on how the sealing was done, how we are not saved in those days, but we are sealed by the Holy Ghost. People are sealed in the churches, but they are not saved. Now listen to this. This is the seal that has opened from heaven and been taken by the Son of Man and has brought it to the bride. This is the seal that he has come. The secret, if you see that, is called the mystery secret. It's called the mystery secret that was in the mind of God, and it was nowhere else except in the mind of God. Even the angels didn't know. Nobody knew it except it was in the mind of God. He says, now that secret is opened. Paragraph 240 of Christ is the mystery of God is revealed. He says, paragraph 240, he says, the second birth is when this mystery secret is revealed to you. And that brother, if you are listening in, get that. That's exactly right. Paragraph 240 of Christ, this mystery that no man knew. What is it? What is this mystery that no man knew? That was the coming of the Lord. Nobody knew except God himself. Now it's opened up. Now when it's opened up, that's what we have. He came. That secret mystery that was in the mind of God has come now to us. It's here. He himself is here. Amen. If you see him, and you know something else, let me say this. No one else will ever see him. No one else can see him except one group called the bride of. And don't tell them they are not. You get out. You cannot. There's a group in Kenya that does that. They cannot allow. They don't allow. They say the foolish virgin and the wise virgin cannot sit together. So they say they are not supposed to. They say, doesn't matter. Whoever comes, let them come. Even the devil, if he wants to come and sit. No, that's a bad word. But if he can come, if you can come and sit, that's okay. I'm going to explain it. He'll never get it because this can only be given to you by God. And God cannot give him. He's not predestinated to get it. He cannot get it. You talk to the worst man here on earth, the agent of the devil. Sit him down, explain how he's come. I've done that before. I've explained, I've given quotes in a way, something that is so open that anybody can. And he does out of it, he says, where is he? That question will always be, because he's not. It was not for the public. That secret was not for the public. It was for one group of people, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is come. He's here. When you have it, now that's the promise is that's the second birth. You are now born again. Now, I'm coming to that, about being born again and things like that. It's one of the points that I want to bring out. Now, I think that's finished, and the diagram is there. You can have a look at it. Now, let me go to the reading of the quotes. And I must say that I'm very, very thankful to the Lord. Yesterday, when we were here, my heart was very, very painful. At one point, my wife told me, "Why don't you go home and take some medicine?" But I don't like those medicines at the same time. But and I stayed there. But you know what? The Lord is so good. Before I went to sleep, before they went to sleep, I didn't sleep much. I told him, "You know what? Something has just happened, and that heart is strong, 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 good." And it was not aching at all, and it was very good. But, I mean, I felt like I can lift something, just a bit like that, and I felt so good. It's still crooked, but I'm happy that I feel. At times, I don't feel like I have the heart. It's just so weak. It's so weak. I cannot even open a bottle. I think now I can try. I cannot even open a bottle of water. It's just so. But last night I felt like I have it. Last night I felt like I have it, and then the Lord is so merciful. I don't talk much about this, but the Lord is merciful. The Lord has been so massive to me. You know, the wife is telling me, "How do we go to Kenya?" And I'm saying, "I don't know. Actually, I don't know. But you know what? Every time that we have a need, it's right there. It's right there because we got to live depending on Him and His good. At that time, He came." And I told sister the same. Don't say you don't have money. Don't say that. Just plan to go. If God wants to go, that time will come. It will just be there for that. And the Lord, I'm just saying, the Lord is so good, brothers, sisters. The Lord is so good, and He wants us to trust in Him, and He desires that. If you can, whatever it is, place it there. Just place it there, and you see the happening. You see the happening. It might be secret or whatever, but you see the happening. You yourself, you be a witness to yourself that this is God. Your tongue will confess that, assuredly, this is God. Just do that. Lay there on His laps. That's why I love that song. Leave it there. That song is very cool. Leave it there. Just leave it there. God will do something. And whatever it is. Now, I may not lead the church ages there, the quote in the church ages. Or maybe if I can read, I can just read that part that is about the fire and the chaff and the plant. But by the tares, and then they gather the wheat. The ecumenical move will bind the tares, churches. The ecumenical move will bind the churches together. For the tares must be bowed first, and though their head is burning, they are not burned at their binding, but are reserved to a later date. And this is the sequence of it. This is the sequence. The tares are bowed. The tares, the chaff is bowed. They are bowed in Methodist tear, Bardos. Methodist Bardo, this Bardo, this Bardo. They're bowed. They're like that. When that finishes, that is in the ecumenical council. That is the image of the beast. I think you know the image of the beast. I don't need to. Amber, do you know the image of the beast? The image of the beast is the coming together of the churches. Coming together of the churches. And they come together against the word. When they come together and when they are done, they are in battles, they are left there. They are not banned. Those battles are not banned. They are still here. And they will continue with them. We will continue with them. Because they will be here or not burned. They will be burned at the resurrection. But when they are burned, when they are already burned, when they are burned now, the rapture can happen. When the image of the beast starts here, the image of the beast are those churches get together, the kinds of churches gather together. When they are there now, they are bowed together, now the rapture can happen. That's what he says. The rapture can happen. So when did the rapture happen? Now, we need to see. To see when the rapture happened, then you need to see what time were they bowed. The prophet's there in the book called The Uniting Time. He says, it is uniting time. I'm not going to read that, but it's there. Uniting time. I don't have much time. It is uniting time. 1963, it's uniting time. They have united. The battles have been battled together. They have been united. When they have been united, uniting time, in the book called Uniting Time, and also in the book called in the Feast of Trumpets, they are bowed together. When they are bowed together, they are bowed together. Listen, listen, listen very carefully. There is the bride and the battles. There's only two groups. I would say three, but the Jews, the Jews, the 144,000. That the bride and the other bardos. And God has drawn a line. They are over here. They cannot get saved. Masse is over. When you say masse is over, and I'm going to do some quotes on that. When you say masse is over, it's not whenever, you know, I'm the masse. Because I'm him, I'm the masse. So you cannot say masse is here, masse is here. But I'm the masse. The rest of them, they don't have masse. It's done. It's done. Judgment has come upon them. They are judged unworthy. They are judged unworthy of this. They are not worthy. They are not this. And they cannot come to this. They cannot even understand it. Now, in the book called the Feast of Trumpets, and when the Bible said that he would be put of the church, in the seven churches, he would be put out of the church. It will completely black. It will completely black. Where does it black? Where does it black out? It goes into the ecclesiastical system. That's binding. That's binding. That's when it does, the rapture happens. All right. System. In the ecumenical council, World Council of Churches, see? She is put completely out. She's completely put out. I'm the paragraph 279 of the Feast of the Trumpets there. That's what I'm reading. They are completely put out, World Council of Churches. He's put completely out. His word, they can't agree with it. You know, they can't. They can't even agree in one in their own little local groups. How are they going to agree in that? So they take another one. They take another mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast, by the way? Do you know what the mark of the beast is? What is the mark of the beast? Who knows what the mark of the beast? Raise up your hand. Mark of the beast. Oh, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Let me explain it so that we just don't pass by and some of these things happen. Let me explain it. I know some of them maybe know, but they're forgetting now. This is the mark of the beast. Do you remember in the Old Testament when you are a slave, and you are working at somebody's house as a slave? You remember that? Now, there was the Jubilee, the 50th day. That is a Pentecost. I can explain that in a different way. But in the 50th year, 50th something year. Now, when that comes, a priest comes with a trumpet. And he's going to pass around, blowing it. People. That declares freedom. That declares freedom. Anybody can leave. If you are digging, you can leave your machete there or whatever and move away. You are free. That meant freedom. That meant freedom. When that comes, listen very carefully. When that comes, and then you refuse to leave your whatever you're doing, you are taken into a post. And you are marked, your ear is marked, that whatever trumpets shall sound, you shall never hear. You don't have an ear to hear. You are done. You are done. You are marked. That's the mark of the beast. As simple as that. For that. You hate the gospel, you refuse. And therefore, you are not sealed by the seal of God. You refuse the seal of God. When you refuse the seal of God, you can only have the mark of the beast. That's the mark. All right. The mark of the beast. An image unto the beast. Remember, the Bible said there was an image made unto the beast. Now, I'm going to read only the red part. What was the dragon? The prophet asks. He talks about the first realm, meekness, freedom. He talks about America like that. But he says, what was the dragon? In the red part, in the Feast of Trumpets, the red part. He says, what was the dragon? He says, Rome. See, had a mark, an image of the beast, to raise up against the real church of God. It was I'm talking about the tares and things like that. Under them, denominations will plague this thing. But when they start to do it, I have some marks here, the lamb shall take his bride to be forever at his side. When that happens, the bride is taken. When the ecumenical council comes by the people, and it happened around 1963, that's when the prophet says it is uniting time. Everything is uniting. That time is when they were bowed. They were bowed and kept until, don't ask, where are we in the rapture and we are with them? No. Listen, they are bound. They are waiting for, there's no way for them to unbind them. Listen, that's very good. They have no way to unbind themselves. They are bound. They are bound together. They are bound together in binds, in bardos, in bardos, bardos, bardos. And they are waiting. It's called Baptist bardo. It's called this bardo, this bardo, this bardo, this bardo. And that's why they said the other day, don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. It's waiting for burning. When will it be burned? At the day of resurrection, at the second resurrection. The prophet said it will be burned at the second resurrection. Now, the other thing that I want to talk about a bit is church ages up to the second pool was not a marriage, but a sealing. It was sealing. And that was Ephesians 4:30. Can you get that? It was not a marriage. Now, let's read this scripture. Let's read this scripture so that you can get what I mean. Ephesians 4:30. I'm speaking slowly. Last time I spoke very slowly, and Sister Edith told me he had things that he understood me. And I would like people to understand me. When I get excited, sometimes I speak very fast. And forgive me for that. Now, let's read that scripture there. It's there. The heading is Church Ages Up to the Second Pool was not a marriage, but a sealing. It was a sealing. It was called sealing. Now, you know sealing. How are you sealed? You can only be sealed by the Holy Ghost. Is that right? You can only be sealed by the Holy Ghost. I think you understand that. The seal is the Holy Ghost seal. That's right. But now this is the scripture. It says like this. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Now that's a very interesting scripture. I was a bit confused sometimes with that. I was wondering, what are we waiting for? What are the people waiting for? If they are sealed and they're sealed by the Holy Ghost, then what are they waiting for, Sister Esther? Because they are sealed, what are they then waiting for? Can you get that? But look here. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So there's another day that they were waiting for. That is not us. If you look at that diagram, it's not us. It's not us. I'm going to show you it's not us. Now, what is a seal? When I go down there, did you read it, Medicinia? Yeah, good. Grieve not the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. Let me read this. What is a seal? A seal, I'm going to read only the, because I don't have time. Let me read only the red part. The red part in that. Seal signifies, now, this is the words I got from the dictionary. Seal signifies a finished work. And when the seventh seal is broken, the mystery of God that's sealed in this mysterious seals is finished. Until the day that seal is broken, and then it's revealed what is the inside. Now, okay, so it means, signifies a finished work. So a seal signifies, or seal means finished work. It's a finished work. Yeah. Can I explain a bit? Now, say Ruther has come with this group, is that right? Ruther is here. A seal has opened from heaven. Ruther has preached. There are those people who believe the message of Ruther. Are you getting it? I'm just explaining it. Has believed the message of Ruther. You get that? Now, when they have believed the message of Ruther, God takes them and seals them with the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost which does it. But that is not the kind of Holy Ghost that we have now. That's the difference. You get that? They are just sealed. That means these people of Ruther are finished about their salvation, about their hope. No. I would call it salvation. Eh? I finished with them because when you die, you don't change. You remember when you die, you don't change. You come back the way you are. So it's when you're here on earth that you're sealed and everything is done. You are saved and sealed. Now, when you're sealed, you are taken to the sixth dimension. You die and you go to the sixth dimension. You die and go to the sixth, sealed. If you don't die, and however long, you can stay like Sister Anne. Sister Anne has lived for a very long time, and I really admire that. She's still very, very well. I mean, God has really given him time. You can stay like that for a long time. And the other age can maybe fight you here or whatever. It doesn't matter. But you are sealed in that age. He has a group that were meant, and he knows the number, and he knows everything. And they were sealed. They were predestinated for that age of Ruther. They cannot do nothing else. And they are sealed and taken away. What next comes? What comes next is a plague upon those people who refused it. On earth, a plague comes and hits the people who refused it. I see how it's going. So those people who are sealed, they are sealed by the Holy Ghost, and it means God has finished with them here on earth. There's no any other way I can do it now. For now, they can go rest. For now, I've done away with them. They believe the message of their age. They cannot believe Wesley is higher. Wesley is higher, but they cannot believe it. I've sealed them in this. In Brother Branham, the same. Wesley, the people were sealed in, and they could not believe Brother Branham. They were sealed and taken. That's what he does. They are sealed. They are sealed by the Holy Ghost. And now the question is, until when? Why can he finish with them completely that he doesn't need it? No. He's sealed. He's finished with them. But he's coming. I'll come. And I'll know when I come. When the second coming happens, he will come with them. That will be the day of redemption. I want to read that. So they are sealed. Okay. Another thing a seal signifies, that's ownership, that's finished work. Another, paragraph 72, is in the breach. Another thing a seal signifies is ownership. See, the seal has a mark on it. It's ownership. He is owned. That person is owned. Those people are owned by God. Okay. Another thing a seal signifies, there are three things. Another thing a seal signifies is security. He's secured. He must go until to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think you can read the rest of them now. God's provided place of worship. God's provided place of worship, paragraph 96. How long does that last? How long does that seal last? You are sealed. You are, don't grieve the Holy Ghost, which you are sealed with, until the day of redemption. It is until the day of redemption. Which is this day of redemption? How long does it last when you get in there? Until you misbehave yourself, Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption." Argue with that. Argue with him, not me. That's what it says. I'm reading it all right. You are sealed until the day of your redemption. Until the day of your redemption. He says, read there, the next statement. Until the day that Jesus comes for you. That's the second coming. You are sealed there. All those people are sealed until Jesus comes. But you remember, do you remember when the prophet went to the sixth dimension? Do you remember when he met those people? And he was told, now, he said, I would like to go see Jesus. He said, now you cannot go there because he's in higher place. He's in the seventh dimension. You cannot go. But we are all, people in the sixth dimension were sealed. They are sealed and taken the seal into the seventh dimension waiting for him. He said, we are all waiting for him. And they said, when he comes, he first of all come to you. He must actually go to Brother Branham first. That is in the second pool. He must come to Brother Branham first. And then he also go to them. As he comes to us, he also go to them. All right. Now, then think of it. You are then not yourself. You are the new creation. Or the Greek there means a new creation. You remember, recreated again. The power of God comes upon you, and when that's when he comes down, that's that pool, become created, a new creature, which brings the whole physical being, spiritual being, and everything in subject to the word of God, not no other way. Now, that's that. Now, I want to talk about the third pool a bit, now here down in a few quotes as I close now. I think I've skipped so much, but that's okay. You can read it. 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 It's good. It's good. Just read it slowly, maybe when you get home. And if you have anything, what did this mean? What did this mean? Because when you put those things down, you try to get other quotes which says what that means. So maybe you can ask and we can talk about that. Now, in the third pool. Now I'm talking about in the third pool. Not as coming, in the third pool, when you get in the third pool. In this third pool, in this third pool that we are talking about, that's the head of this paper, at the head of this here. This third pool that we are talking about, this third pool, this third pool here. In that third pool, the last paragraph, number three at the head, that's the third pool. That big line is the third pool. Now, in that third pool, when you get there, this is the bright age. You can call it the bright age. You can call it You can call it the third page and things like that. This is where you and him are one. That's where you become one with him. I in you, you in me. But what happens about, yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said. Is I in you, it's this time, it's this age, it's this age. When he comes, that place, when he comes, he's coming for one thing. Remember, he's coming to marry a bride. He's coming to pick up. That's the purpose. From the Garden of Eden, all that he wanted, this is what he has been looking for. He has been looking to get into his bride. And now he's gotten him. I mean, he's gotten her. Now here it is. Now, how about, what happens when that happens? Wait till we get over there. That 1 hour, take that 1 hour, our half hour. That is, he says, that is, it's silent. What is it? What is that? What is that? What is that silent? It's the seventh seal. Is that right? I can see some people yawning a bit. Am I boring you? I'm sorry. Is that silent? Is that silent? What is it? It's the seventh seal. And the prophet said, it's the Ladipu. During that time when he comes, during that hour, when that hour comes, and he comes, he doesn't go nowhere. He's here. He stays here. Now, the sanctuary is smoking. What is it? The sanctuary is smoking. It's judgment. It's over. It's done. It's over. The few steal. The righteous be righteous steal. That's the bread. There's no blood on it. No more. For the blood-covered lamp. Okay, I'm speaking something. There's no more intercession. The sacrifice has left. Is a judgment seat. There's no blood on it. Where is the bread? The bread you judge with Christ. The bread is with Christ. But the whole world is being judged. It's judged as wrong. They are wrong. They've gone. Okay. There's no blood on it no more. For the blood-covered lamp has walked away. Don't you wait till that time. Remember in the Old Testament, as long as the blood was on the mercy seat, it was a judgment. But as long as the blood was on there, there was mercy. But when the lamp walked away, that did it. When the lamp came with the book and walked away with the book, with the bride, all that was written there, it's done. It's finished. Okay. I don't know that this thing is true, but it's going to, this is what I'm saying. He really struggled. He really struggled. And he tried to see what it was. He said, how is it going to work in me? How is it going to be? But in December 1963, preaching and I would like you people to read that book, Look Away to Jesus. You young people, you are reading books, read that book. You're going to see how he struggles with that book. He says, but now, 1963, I now know it. I now know what it is. He was all this time struggling. What do I do? What do I do with this? But it's come, it's here, but what do I do with it? I don't know that this thing is true. But it's got to be that way sometimes, see? It's got to come to that. And it could be now, see? In every way, the world will carry right on. In every way, the world will carry on. The world, the cosmos will carry on. The worldliness will go on. But the bride will be taken up. It will be taken away. Okay. Carry on. But it won't do no good, see? Okay. People will still come to the altar. They will still cry out. This is very touching. They will still cry out. They want to be saved. But it's gone. It's done. It's done. Still cry out. But it won't do no good, see? They will be gone, see? It will be over. There won't be no mercy. You remember Judas? When he went there and crucified Jesus and betrayed Jesus Christ? He came back. He realized what he's done. He wanted to come back. He could not come back. It was done. It was done for him. It was that he could not come back. And he died a sinner. He went there and hung himself. Okay. And over. There won't be no mercy. Remember that. And the sanctuary becomes smoky. He that feels this. When he comes, this is what happens. When the Ladipu starts, we are in the when we get in the Ladipu, it's over. It's done. We are in the Ladipu. No more mercy. Still feel the he that's righteous is righteous still. And he that's holy is holy still. There's no more mercy when the lamp picks the book. That's it. That's all of it. And it looks whole like it could be now. He's talking about the Ladipu. Now, I got to the book called Marriage in Force. And any woman that refuses a man, his child, has no right to be his wife to him. Amen. You remember in the Bible when the king married Esther? Because the queen could refuse to, he just got him another one. What happened when she refused to come out with the king and obey him? The same thing is with a woman that refuses to be a wife to her husband. And so is it with the church that refuses to become pregnant in the age that we now live in, to bring forth children of this age. We are not ruthless, we are not worthless, neither are we Pentecostals. We've got to be the children of this age through the pregnancy of the Word of God, to bring forth a child of this age, the seed child. Amen. I hope you understand. Couldn't be pregnated. No, no. So what did he do? He put her away in divorcement. That's right. But she dare not put him away. He put her away. He went right on revealing his word to the body and vindicating him. Same by himself. His children begin. That's very good, brother. His children begin, because of staying under the sun, begin to kind of look more like him, because he's fully maturing. That's where we are. We are fully maturing. Slowly, slowly. The other day, Don brought something here. He said that it's good to look that somebody is. We are not where we started. We had our problems, and everybody. Don't you think you don't have a problem? Everyone has a problem. You don't want to go into the past. Just look at me. I'm becoming better. I'm becoming better every day. I'm under that S-O-N. As a seed there is under S-U-N, I'm under that S-O-N. This is a time of S-O-N. He's here, he's come, you are feeding on him. This is what we are feeding on. This is the Ladipo. This is during in the period of the Ladipo. Another thing, if you look at my diagram there, although it has so many mistakes, but you see, I don't put an ed to that Ladipo. I don't put an ed. It doesn't have an ed. The Ladipo does not have an end. His being with the bride does not have an end. It goes throughout eternity. We'll never leave him. We'll be with him forever and ever, eternally. He went right revealing his word to the body and vindicating him. Same by himself. His children begin to kind of look more like him, because he's fully maturing, or they become children of the word, not children of the church. That's another thing, brothers. We really like being children of the church. No, not us, but people like that. I belong to this. The four walls will not help you at all. I like saying this. I like explaining this. And here, this is very good, because you people are good at that. Michael, you want to be with Mendocinia, wherever you are. That's good. And that's good. She's your wife. But I'll say this, and forgive me for this. If this is not the way, maybe many people don't take it. You see my wife over there. I told her, sometimes it happens sometimes, and we had to live somewhere. And I told her, if you don't see it, stay there. Stay there. This is not a group something. This is an individual something. This is not a church something. It's mine. It's individually you. It's for you, Michael. Even if she refuses, that's okay. You start with it. If he refuses, you start with it. Each one. And you can help one another. As a wife, I can help my wife. I can help her. I can help my children. But this is not ours. This is not ours. And you see that one day, what I'm saying today here, maybe you remember it one day when it comes, because it must come, when you're crossing that river. Across the river there, down there, you see it. You don't be there. I don't know what happens if maybe we had an accident, God forbid, and maybe we died together. I don't know what happens. I don't know what happens at that time. I don't know. But you're alone. Because even if we die together and we are there crossing the river, and I didn't start with this. I was not predestined to start with this. And he didn't choose me. He didn't elect me to be. I'll go in, or somebody will go in, and I'll go the other side. This is an individual walk. And you can do whatever you want to do with your wife, your husband. That's all right. That's okay. But that matters here. That matters here. And the church, that's okay. Even the church, that's okay. Let the church be not the thing that pulls you away from what God. And church is very important. Church is very important. We come here, we worship together. And that's nice. That's great. But the prophet says in that book, I think paragraph 448. The prophet says in that book called Christ is the Mystery of God. I'm afraid that, I don't know whether he uses the word afraid, but he says, I'm afraid that people are being taken
much more to the church than to Christ. You belong to a church. You think because you have come to this church, you know, no. This church, I was telling Don yesterday, I think it was yesterday when I was telling Don. I've traveled a bit, but we are high. We are high. Here we are high in the revelation. In fact, like now, you see these quotes I'm reading. I didn't read them to Kenya. If I read them, they're not, they might, some of the people, yeah, they can understand. I know they can understand. But I preach it. I just preached it. They're just like that without reading quotes. Here we are high. Here we are very high. And God has blessed us with that. But don't you never think to coming here and being belong, because you belong here, you are going to heaven. Don't you never hurt. I'm afraid, the prophet said, I'm afraid that we are taking people to church, to be a church member, to belong here, to belong here, to belong under who. And I'm not trying to to demean Brother Don. But that's right. You can be under Brother Don with all this great revelation and die and go to hell. You got to make sure you belong to one man. The only man that was worthy, that is Christ and Christ himself. And make sure each one, you are my baby, you are my children. That's okay, Adam. You are Don's son, you are Don's daughter. Make sure, not my father's religion, not my father's. No, you, how are you with him? And I know you're not very old, but that's okay. We want to teach you like that. We want to teach you that there's something about an individual, something with you and Christ. Not a group, not a church, not something like that. All right. Let me finish this. I'm happy that I've finished this now. Okay. Purity. Okay. Where am I? Okay. You know, okay. The children of the word. And okay. Because it's fully maturing. Oh, they become children of the word. Not children of the church. Children of the word. And the bride will be a lovely little lady. I would say the bride is a lovely little lady. You know, the prophet talk like it is on future. We know it's not in future. I think I explained last Wednesday how that people, Sister Esther, did you listen in? About how I talked about Jesus coming. And I want you to tell me when Jesus was to come, according to scriptures. There was something like that when the fig tree buds, you know, the budding of a tree, when it buds, when we see the fig tree bud, then 40 years after that, that is when Jesus is going to come. And we counted that. Do you count that in the church? We counted that. And we said that Brother Don told us it's 1946 when the fig tree budded. Fig tree is Israel. When it became a nation was 1946. If Israel became 1946, 40 years after that, when was he to come? What did you tell us, Don? 1986? Yeah. 46 to 86. That is when Jesus... That's not in future. That's not in future. It's in the past. That's why I read it. When he has come, he's come. Jesus Christ has come. He said in those 40 years, he'll come around there. And he didn't fail. He came. Jesus Christ came. You, brothers, look at it in every way. Look at it on matters of forerunning. About forerunning. Have you looked at it like that? About forerunning? That the prophet was told that he's going to forerun the second coming of the Lord. Have you thought now he's not there? But now you ask me the other question that I was, when I said that to some people in the group, they said, but now he said it is not Brother Branham who is going to forerun it, but his message. His message is going to forerun the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a quote in the church ages that says that when he comes, it is Jesus Christ, when he comes, because he's going to find Brother Branham here, he's going to authenticate the message of Brother Branham, the message of the seventh angel. That is in the church ages. So because he will be here. And he says, just like John was here when he forerun him, and he told the people, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So William Branham will be here at the seventh angel, with the spirit of Elijah, to say, behold, the bridegroom that marries the bride. He's the one to introduce. This is the bride. I've been telling you he's coming. He's here. He'll be here to do that. Okay. And he was. Okay. All right. And he was here. Okay. Where are we? Okay. We are here. We're done with marriage and trust. Not any man is organized children of the word. And the bride, that's what I'm saying. You got to be the children of the word, not the children of the church, not the children of anybody else, children of the word. And the bride will be a lovely little lady of the word, unadulterated, not touched by any man organization, any man theory. Any man theory, she will be purely unadulterated. That's the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride of the word. Amen. And amen. I hope you get that. Out in there, she will be the pregnated daughter of God. Bite your conscience with your spiritual teeth and find out where we are at, what it is, and you are still the way you are, then you just might as well walk. You are finished. Then that's outside, after the book was taken by the Lamb, the sixth seal is revealed, and the seals is over. It could be, I hope it isn't, it could be all right. Now, is that why this dadpo has been so long regard? Regard is staying. It's taken a bit of time, is right? And I'm telling you, you mark that, 29th of December, 1963, the prophet was saying, Is this it? What am I going to do? Is this the third pool? What do I do? But that 29th, he said, I now know. And he said, Lord, it's good that you've revealed to me what this is. You've shown me in every way what this third pool is. Now, we can go forth, and get the people into that third pool. Now, and the last one. Let me do the last one, and then we close. One of these days, if you haven't already, you cross that line. Now that was that time. You never desire no more. Those people don't desire no more. They come to a place where they don't desire no more to do what's right. Did you hear what I said? It's a matter, brother, sister, do you realize what's been said? You will cross that line, and you never want to do it. You still hear the gospel, sure, but you never accept it. You can't accept it. But the gospel will be preached to the doomed. The Dadipo is preaching to the doomed. You remember Noah? When Noah, it came to the Dadipo of Noah, it was crossed. And it stayed, I don't remember how many days. How many days did it stay? Still for quite some, it's not raining. And the door is crossed. 7 days. And there's not rain. There's no door. There's no door. There's no rain. There's no nothing. But it's there. When Jesus died, he went to the people that were dead. There was no way for them to get saved. You resurrect the way you are. And he went to preach to them. It's a message. This is a message. This is a message. The message we are eating, it is to the doomed, to the lost. They cannot come in. The worldly people cannot come in. I'm not saying that we don't preach. I think you're getting it right. I'm not saying that we don't get people to preach to get to this. Get them as much as possible. But the only people who can come here are the predestinated. Nobody else can come. God has drawn a judgment. And every time, listen, you go to work very hard. You go to work very hard to fight God until you go there. You got to refuse. And God has got to bring you something. This is the truth. However much truth he brings it to you. You fight it, and God draws a line. You're done. It's gone. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you want. You can't come back. This message, that's why there's no more mercy. When we say there's no more mercy, now you understand what we mean. We are not saying there's no more mercy at all, that we don't have, we are the mercy. But he's preaching to the lost. That's the third pool. Thank you. I will just reach there. And God bless you. I'll finish my quotes and I'm happy. Brother Don.
I wasn't expecting that. I thought we had some more. And that he's going to keep going. Amen. We appreciate that. And a lot there to look at, a lot to study on. And so we just thank God. We thank God that it came through the channel, it came through the poles, it come right the way that God had intended it to come. And the greatest thing is that when it came out of those church ages and it came into Christ himself, and that was the beauty of it. And they what they had back there is they had a portion. They had a portion of it. And to me, that was just one of the greatest revelations when we were able to understand that, the difference between what they had and what we have. And that they had in portion now had come into the fullness of it. And it was, and Brother Branham's words, the literal life of Jesus Christ, not the anointing, not the blessing, not just the Spirit being upon you, but the literal life of Jesus Christ living in a body in this last days. What a blessed people to be a part of this revelation, to be a part of this manifestation, because it is a manifestation. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the manifestation of his glory. And so we appreciate the messages Brother Gumba's brought. And one thing he said wrong is when he opened this morning, he said, "I wasted your time." He hasn't wasted our time. No, I appreciate very much. And so we know God has a reason and a purpose in all things. And sometimes even ourselves, we go away sometimes. We're going down a road and we're thinking, "Lord, why am I doing this? Why am I saying this? What?" God has a purpose in all things. And the beauty of it is, sometimes we don't see it till after. But when he lets us see it, then it just really humbles our hearts. And it makes us just thank him and praise him for what he's doing. Yeah. And to know that we don't recognize sometimes that he is using us sometimes when we don't even realize the greatness of it. And so we just praise him. Let us stand together now and let us bow our heads as we look to him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the words of eternal life that Brother Gumba has been ministering. We thank you for revelation. We thank you, Lord, to see how this great revelation was unfolding and how it was building and building, Lord, coming to the climax, Lord, until you rose up off the throne and you took the book. Lord, the blood went off the mercy seat. And Lord, it became a judgment seat. And Lord, you came and you become one with your wife, with your redeemed. And Lord, what a great hour. What a blessed time. Lord, the prophet said it was the worst time for the world and for Satan's subjects. But what a blessed time, Lord, for your seed, for your bride. And Lord, let us just recognize daily. Let us thank you and praise you daily in all things that you would do, all things that you would have your way, having the preeminence. We commit each one to you now, Lord, and our families, our loved ones. Lord, you know all things. Oh, we're thinking of the meetings in December in Tika. We're thinking of the meetings in the 29th this month, Lord, with Brother Moingi, Lord. And every time we come together, Lord, we're looking forward to you to lead us and guide us in all truth. Lord, prepare us and let us be in prayer for those things as we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in saying that, I do want to remind you that on the 29th, we're going to be going. We will be talking about the arrangement and getting together on the driving so we don't have to take so many cars. Somebody mentioned possibility of getting a van. So we'll see how that goes, but we'll keep you posted on that. But do be praying for that. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.